Well, good morning, everyone. I pray the grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ as we again begin to walk through these various scenes of Jesus' life. You know, the last month we spent walking with Jesus as he was commissioning the disciples and really expanding the work of, making his word known in God's kingdom. We had seen the disciples ordained to go out and preach the kingdom of God, to join in the harvest of souls. They were given power to heal the sick, drive out demons, give his peace. And they were warned to be shrewd and careful because persecution awaited them and still awaits many followers of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about the fact that there were more than just the 12, though, right? That there were people who followed Jesus from afar, and some of them had even been given power to grant, or power granted power to heal, as we read in that one verse about John trying to stop that gentleman. And then there were the women that followed Jesus and the disciples, and they helped with their daily needs. They supported them. And we also saw that Jesus' fame and name were known at every levels of society. As we read last week, Herod was perplexed by Jesus, because we'd even read, Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening and was perplexed, because it was said by some that A, he was John, who had been raised from the dead, B, that Elijah had reappeared, or C, that Jesus was one of the prophets of old returned. And so he sought Herod would have loved to have seen him and interviewed him. I want to talk today about John the Baptist. I want to look back a little bit before next week we continue on, because Nicodemus, early on in Jesus' ministry, came to him and asked him, "Who are you?" And while that's often the focus of John chapter 3, in John, the latter half of that chapter, John 3, we find that John the Baptist recognizes his role. And while he's been making Jesus' name coming known, he realizes it's time to step back. If you'll recall, John and Jesus and their disciples were baptizing in the vicinity, and there arose a discussion among John's disciples and some of the Jews, about what was happening, what's going on. And so in John 3, 27 to 30, we read this. They came to ask John, "What is happening?" And we read, John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness, as I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, I must decrease." John knows, I'm not the Christ. I've had the honor of announcing him, and you got to keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus is going to increase, I am going to decrease. So John finishes that third chapter of John. We read this as he finishes up his statement. "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly manner. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Now, this is remarkable testimony, because it shows John knew what was happening, that Jesus was the Christ. And yet today, as we read this, we will see in our gospel message that John is just like the rest of us. He's in prison. He doesn't know what his future will be. And he sends word to Jesus, seeking reassurance, seeking confirmation that Jesus is the one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, as we review John's life and Jesus' testimony today, Father, first we thank you for your words of life, for this knowledge that you impart to us. But help us to remember, Lord, when we face our own difficulties, our own obstacles in life, that you are God. And help reassure us, Lord, in those moments when we suffer through this doubt, this wondering, Lord, that you are the rock on whom we build our lives, and that house will never fall. Thank you for this truth and knowledge, Lord. Amen. So again, today I want to focus on being human, right? That condition that all of us suffer from. Because again, John the Baptist gave an incredible testimony there early on in the ministry of Jesus. And again, he'd been tasked with preparing the way for Jesus. He went out and he preached in the wilderness that all sinners needed God's grace, mercy, and love. They needed to repent. And we know that his message hit home because the crowds went out to see him. Even the Pharisees went out to see him. And John was a rough and tumble preacher. He did not mince words. He wore rough clothes. He ate locusts and honey. He was a very different dude. Right? I wanted to share those words from John 3 again, because when we started this walk back in January, we had read through those verses where John knew that his work was winding down. Since that point, Jesus had gone out and he'd begun to preach, "The kingdom of God is at hand." He was healing people. He was driving out demons. He was calming storms. And we've even seen the persecution and the questioning from the Pharisees begin. And John had heard all this from afar, and now he is in prison because he angered Herod. I want to set the stage for this. I'd like to just paraphrase Mark 6, 17 to 20. We read there, "It was Herod who had seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' So Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted him put to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly." So here's the thing again. We read that Herod was perplexed about who Jesus was last week. And the nice thing, this is what Herod would have loved to have had the opportunity with Jesus. If you throw a dude in prison, well, you got to interrogate the prisoner, right? So he could invite John to talk with him, and it was just an official duty. Because again, he couldn't have gone out into public to go see him. That would have been lowering himself in a way that kings and leaders don't do. But he was perplexed whenever he talked with John, because John spoke truth. And truth is such a hard thing for people of the world to really hear. As I said, Herod would have loved to have had this opportunity with Jesus. In fact, he did on the night that Jesus was betrayed. But by that point, it was like, the Romans have him. And again, Herod couldn't hear the truth, even no matter how it was said. The amazing thing is we see the same thing happen in the book of Acts when Paul is brought before Felix and Agrippa. They recognize some of the words, but because of their position, they're like, I can't just become a Christian. That's too much of a leap. I'm a man of power. You know? So this is one of the ways that people ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ. I give this background because John is in prison and he knows his end is near and he wants some reassurances. You know, he's 98% convinced Jesus is the dude. Lord, help me with that little bit. And so we read, if you want to join in on page 816, we read through Matthew 11 this morning. and its messengers come from John the Baptist. Verses 2 to 5 record this. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answered, "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them." Now first, John's condition echoes what we read in Isaiah this morning, as do Jesus' response. In Isaiah 35, 3 and 4, we read, "Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees." Right? We've all been there. Feeble knees and weak hands. "Say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you." That's an assurance we all need at various times in our lives, isn't it? Right? A medical diagnosis goes wrong, is one we don't want to hear. Something happens to a child or a loved one, and we wonder if God is there. What's going on in my life, Lord? So Jesus assures John by echoing those words of Isaiah 35:5-6, where Isaiah had written, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy." Jesus' words to John's disciples that he was the long-expected one, he said, "Go back and tell John, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them." Jesus calmed John's heart with those words. And that was important because John never left that prison alive. Herodias got her wish, and John the Baptist was beheaded. So in the rest of this chapter in Matthew, we hear Jesus testify to John, and in so doing, Jesus testifies to the truth of John's ministry and also to the truth of who he is, the Christ. And he reminds people what John's message was, which was repent. In fact, after he went through that litany of what was going on, in verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." The rulers, the powerfuls, they were offended. They were successful. They were important. How could it be that they needed anything other than what they already had in this world? They were offended by Jesus and by John, telling them to repent. And Jesus assures us right there, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So Jesus begins to ask the crowd, and he did this, it says, as John's disciples walked away. He began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus hammers the truth of John's message and what it means. He asks him, "What did you go out to see?" Three times, right? A reed blowing in the wind? Someone living in finery? No, you went out to see a prophet sent from God. Again, John was sent to prepare people's hearts for repentance, salvation, to have people really look at who they are. So Jesus testifies further to John and who he was in verses 11 to 15. "Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus reiterates that it's Israel's refusal to follow God's message that is causing their problem. John preached the same message in the law as the prophets. Repent, turn around, return to God. But they refuse to do so. And when we refuse to do so, ultimately the result of that is violence, because we try to tear down God's kingdom rather than build it up. Jesus, in these next two verses, uses the examples of how kids respond to one another, saying, why can't you guys just hear? It's not that hard. We read in verses 16 and 17, but to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. When kids play together, they follow along, right? That's the only way it works. And Jesus is saying, I did miracles, but people do not accept me. I cast out demons, but people do not accept me. I calm storms, but people do not accept me. Again, in the example of kids, when there's a group that won't play with another, the group that wants to play goes off and finds new playmates, don't they? I think Jesus is telling them, you guys, I'm going to go off and find others who want to hear this message, who will hear this message. Because the ones I came to tell, they refuse to believe in me or accept the message. And then Jesus, in these next two verses, confirms that John and his message were not accepted. For he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. With these statements, Jesus indicated, didn't matter how the message came. The message was the same. And if you wanted a messenger who was, you know, one way, God sent him, and you couldn't accept it. So he sent a messenger who's another way, and you couldn't accept it. The powerful, the influential people had decided they would not accept it, and there are so many people who refuse to go against what the powerful and the influential may say. Because if they do so, they won't be accepted by the powerful and the influential. Many are unwilling to buck the thoughts of those that they see as, I don't know, somehow above them. Jesus finishes Matthew 11 with both a warning and a promise. And this is what Chuck had read this morning. The warning that Jesus gave to the people that were listening to him. We read in verses 20 to 24, then Jesus began to denounce the city where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Jesus was right in their midst, doing it right in front of their eyes, and they were still like, yeah, that's not enough. We read, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. That comparison to Sodom, to Tyre and Sidon, I mean, that's a pretty amazing statement. You know, especially for like Sodom and Gomorrah, that were just destroyed by an out-of-worldly event of raining down hail and brimstone. Jesus here expresses his sadness, his sorrow, his frustration that the people are so willingly blind. All the miracles, all the teaching, all the grace that was seemingly wasted, wasn't it? Because these people were hard-hearted and refused to accept it. They refused to repent. They refused to turn and be healed. And naturally, they thought of themselves as good people. Right? That's one of the other conditions. While we may need affirmation or confirmation, reassurance sometimes, we also sure do love to think of ourselves as good people, don't we? People worthy of salvation. But that's just a wrong outlook, isn't it? And this broke Jesus' heart. So he gave them that warning, but then he was like, I need to make one final plea to those listening and to us. Verses 25 to 30, we read, come to me and I will give you rest. And in verses 25 to 27, we read, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Right here, Jesus again declares himself as the Messiah. And he recognizes that those who think they are most worthy are the ones who are most blinded by their own self-importance. Because the wise and the understanding, they're not the ones who got the message. It was the simple ones who got it. The ones who were humble. Jesus revealed himself to all, but the smart ones were too smart to accept it. So he finished by inviting everyone to come to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John sent his disciples to Jesus because he wanted confirmation. He wanted that assurance, just one more time, that Jesus was the Christ. And Jesus confirmed it for John and his disciples. And then he confirmed it for the crowds. And he used the testimony of Jesus, or John's own ministry and the testimony of his own ministry, to declare that he is the Messiah. And I have the words of life, he's telling people. We don't have to do this on our own anymore. God loves us and he wants everyone to turn, repent, and be healed. That is what Jesus is calling out this morning, telling us. But again, so many didn't listen because the Pharisees wouldn't listen. And it's our choice still that same way today, isn't it? The world tells us one thing. We tell ourselves we're good enough. But Jesus is telling us to turn and be healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, we just again thank you for your words of life and the way you bless us and keep us, Lord. Thank you for the assurances that you give us each and every day that you are God, you are in control, you love us, and you are calling out to all humanity, turn and be healed. Amen.